Spring into deals at Lowe's. Shop select 1.5-gallon annuals hanging baskets, 2 for $15, for the perfect addition to Mom's garden. Plus, get 3 free bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil when you buy 3. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/6, excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tony and Jenny Bruschi here from Real Ghost Stories Online. There has never been a better time than now to be an EPP, extra podcast person, to Real Ghost Stories Online.
There's more exclusive content than ever before.
Plus, our new EPP website is up and running where you can access all of our exclusive content anywhere you want on any device. Exclusive video, all of the archived episodes. It's all there when you sign up to be an EPP at realghoststoriesonline.com.
It's only $5 a month.
And that goes to keeping our show on the air and alive. Sign up now, become an EPP, and enjoy all of the bonus episodes for yourself when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Just click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And hello, and welcome to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Real ghost stories from real people at 855-853-4802. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I got in the inbox. Remember a couple weeks ago, there was a letter or caller or somebody who said they're in the funeral home business.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about funeral home advertising.
Sure. That's Ray in Ohio.
Yeah. Okay. You're great at that. I'm not. We're talking about bizarre ads that fairly distasteful ads. And we had just we're talking about one that we had seen in one of our local, you know, coupon books that come out. And it was talking about, and it was like right next to the burger ad. And it was like coupons for, you know,
$4.99 cremation.
Yeah. And it was just like, is that, I mean, it's just, it just felt kind of odd right next to the $5.99 burger. So anyway, he had mentioned to us that there was a bunch of very bizarre ads that a lot of people found very distasteful that were running in some of the trade magazines for funeral home directors. Well, he sent us some of these ads.
Oh, my gosh.
Now,
so great.
Now, this is there's a couple of them, and two of them are fairly similar. The first one has... It's basically a scene from the woods, and there's an old man who's naked with his back to you, and he's sitting in front of a campfire. Essentially, it's insinuating, you know, the cremation, and he's sitting right there, and it just says, no fuss, just cremations.
Oh, gosh. That's awful.
It's horrible. And then there's another one where it's the husband and wife sitting directly, and they're old, sitting directly in front of the campfire. Oh, God, there's a dog in the corner staring at them. I just caught that part. And it just says, no fuss. Our promise to you. The truth is everyone can start a funeral business. You just have to register a business and start trading. You can even operate from home. We want to make some promises that our competitors just can't match.
That's still awful.
You want to see it?
Yeah.
Take a look at this is one of them.
Nobody needs to... Okay, that's disturbing on so many levels. First of all, nobody needs to see old butts.
And then the other one is just... I mean, the other one... I think it's a different company. It's not the just cremations. It's It says it's for Parker Funeral Service and Crematorium, Millard Crematorium. And this is just really bizarre and completely pushing the line and really quite distasteful, you know. But you have to look at this and you almost, you know, it's like, oh my God, shock when you see it. And it's essentially what looks like a Nazi soldier without the Nazi emblem on. It's okay. Like that was, I think, airbrushed off. But you can tell it's a German World War II uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a black and white photo and then cropped in front of an urn. And then it says cremation with integrity.
That's horrible.
Yeah, completely horrible.
That's horrible.
So when I saw that, I'm assuming these were legitimate ads.
Oh, sure.
At some place, at some point in time. I mean, it almost looks like something, you know, a real snarky, smart-ass high school kid would put together in Photoshop. But I'm guessing these were legitimate ads, the way that Ray had talked about them.
Okay.
So, I mean, I have no way of proving these existed other than, you know, Ray who sent them to us.
Well, there's no reason Ray would make these up.
I don't distrust him at all. Unless he got bad information and, you know, thought these were real. I don't know. But that one, it was just like, oh, my God.
That's the worst.
It's like, how, why, I
anyhow. Do you have that one?
Yeah. Yeah. You want to see it?
I guess.
Yeah. It's right here. It's, there you go. It is just, it's something that you can't unsee.
And without words.
Yeah. Someone thought that was a good idea. And that is the scary part. So there you go. They exist. 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. We would love to hear it. Of course, you can also write into us through our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. So there's lots of ways to get your real ghost stories to us here at the show. Let's kick off the show today with a caller from Louisiana. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. I'd rather not say my name, but I want to start with when I was an infant. I obviously don't remember this occasion, but later on in life, I learned of it. Apparently, I had something seriously wrong with me. And I'm down here in New Orleans, born in Bogalusa. So my mother and father couldn't afford regular medical practice. So they took me to some shack out in the middle of nowhere to a voodoo woman. And I asked her to heal me. And so that happened, from what I was told from my mother. So later on in life, when I was about maybe 8 or 9, I lived in California at the time. My father had moved us down there for the 1988 earthquake. And I had kind of turned towards the wrong path. And I had gotten into shoplifting heavily. I'm proud of it. Sorry I did it. But it leads to the story. One day, I had gone into a store, and me and my friends were in there, and we always watched our backs, and we made sure no one was around. And I slipped something in my pocket and got tapped on the shoulder. And I turned around, and there was this really kind old man. His eyes were just really kind, and he just had this look about him that didn't seem right to me. And he looked at me that someday you're going to get caught. And it's not going to be good. But there are a lot of hard times in life because of what you're doing now. And to this day, I've never taken anything before or stolen before. I've seen this old man numerous times throughout my life. And later on in life, I had moved here to California, moved back home to Louisiana And I just started driving. I was maybe 16, 17 years old. And I drove an old 84 Ford F-150 pickup truck. Just going down the highway all by myself. It was probably about 6:30, 7 in the morning. And a little girl in a flower dress just accumulated in front of the truck. I never looked away, but there she was. So I locked up my brakes. I didn't really swerve or anything, just locked them up. That's all I could do. And I never heard anything, but after the truck came to a halt, put it parked, took a deep breath, I stepped outside the vehicle. I looked under the truck, I looked behind the truck, I looked in the ditches. I didn't find anybody. And I thought maybe I was just, you know, maybe my mind was just playing tricks on me. So I started to drive away, and I got maybe 20 feet away from where my tire treads were, and I looked in my rearview mirror, and there she was standing in the road, and I stopped the truck. And I didn't get out, but I was watching her through the mirror, and she squatted down, placed her hand on the tire tread, and then just vanished. I don't know what that meant or what that was for. And then the third one, three, it followed me throughout my life. It's a woman. She's not very nice. She's very mean. She keeps me awake at night. She's accumulated in my truck. I ended up putting my Ford in the ditch and totaled it out. She basically did the same thing the girl did, but when my truck stopped, she was in the passenger seat, and I looked at her. Her mouth got real big, and her eyes just got black as night, and it was like she was sucking the soul out of me. It hurt. And so I was a little beaten up from putting the truck in the ditch and everything. And I finally got, finally able to get out of the truck and get away from her. And you know, when it's foggy and something moves through the fog and it creates like big swirls of fog, she darted off, and there were some street lamps, and you could see the swirl fog from the direction she went. And sometimes when I sleep at night, fog is directly across it. I can kind of see her silhouette. I know it's her, and she's saying something, but every time she speaks, it literally feels like the insides of my ears are closing, or it just feels like somebody's got a hold of my ears, and I just, the only thing I can do is just put my hand over my ears and just bury my face at the pillow to keep it from hurting so much. You're the first person I've told, and if it proceeds any more than it already has, I'm going to seek help from somebody else, but I don't even know if this is how it's supposed to be done. I don't know if I'm telling you a story or just leaving you a really short voicemail. But I don't know if this has anything to do with it. You know, anything to do with what happened to me as a child or as an infant. From what I've looked up on voodoo practices, in order to gain something, something must be given. And I wonder if what was supposed to be given was given. My mom told me about it, but not in great detail. My dad won't mention it. He denies it. So what I've done to basically keep them away, I mean, I don't want to do it to the old man. I'm not sure about the little girl, but I definitely want to do it to keep the woman away, is I had a friend who was Japanese and he kind of did their practices, and he made me some seal on a ceramic cat, and I now have two felines that, you know, live with me at the house, and then I have three ceramic cats, one in my vehicle, one that stays outside in my yard, and the other one in my office at work. Anyway, it was a pleasure speaking with you, and I hope to hear something back in one of the episodes. And have a nice day and keep doing what you're doing.
The power of the ceramic cat.
I know that in a lot of Asian cultures, cats are a really positive, good thing.
Okay, but so it's kind of like keep it away?
I'm guessing so, kind of a guardian.
Okay.
So I didn't know that, you know, I didn't know that that would help keep bad spirits at bay.
Mm-hmm.
But I find that very interesting. I do wonder, though, if it does tie back to his experience with going to the voodoo woman mm-hmm. in the woods, and if that made him inadvertently be open or tagged him as open to any kind of spiritual interaction.
I would think that that was probably the beginning of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what has brought a lot of this on. That would just be so disturbing. I mean, how would you handle that? I mean, do you still have a relationship with your parents then? Do you still like, hey, I know you did this with my best of intent, but guess what?
They're your parents, and they're the only parents you're probably going to have.
Yeah, but still, that's kind of one of those, I don't know.
Well, Tony, think of it this way. They took him there because they didn't have the money to get him regular medical help. And I'm not saying
sure.
It was the best decision.
Sure.
But it's not like they took him to sacrifice him
no,
for personal
gain. No, that's true.
Gain.
That's true.
They
it
were
was...
trying to help him.
Yeah. Yeah. What's scary is, I mean, he said the dad denies it.
Mm-hmm.
The mom barely talks about it. I don't know. That would just be so difficult.
The part about the little girl and he slams on the brakes and leaves skid marks. And then after, when he's looking in the rearview mirror, she bends down and touches them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost wondering if that's because that showed her that somebody saw her enough to slam on the brakes.
Like she was just confirming that it was real, like it was going on.
Yeah. Maybe she'd popped up in that road a million times and nobody ever slammed on their brakes.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody saw her and slammed on the brakes and she's like, oh my gosh, there's
sure.
tread marks here. Somebody saw me.
Yeah. I would have to say that this probably was the conduit to having him be open to all of these things. As to what they all mean, I don't think they're necessarily tied together at all. I think these are all individual
mm-hmm.
you know, spirits on their own path, and he happens to be crossing a lot of them.
Yeah.
Not like crossing like you know, being mean or you know, upsetting them, but just
coming across them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very interesting story.
Yeah.
How do you break that?
How do you break that?
How do you stop having to experience those things?
Well, if we knew that.
Yeah.
You know.
I really wonder. Thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us. Our number here is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go to Katie in Colorado. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Katie from Colorado, and I'm calling in about an experience or kind of like a story that happened to me when I was in middle school. So just some background. I've always sort of been sensitive to this stuff, but more in the sense of when I walk into a house or a room, I can kind of tell if there's like a energy or a presence or vaguely around those lines. Anyway, I always thought everyone could do it until I started to slowly realize other people couldn't. So the actual story part, this happened in middle school when I started becoming friends with this girl that I'm really good friends with now. And it was one of the first times that I went over to her house. Now, she has this beautiful house in right on the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. So it's a really great location. It's a pretty, I wouldn't say it's a big house, but it used to be a ranch home. And she actually lives on a farm, so there's not many neighbors nearby. So the house was built in 1916, so it's almost 100 years old. And her parents got it about 15 years ago, and they rebuilt it. Not rebuilt it, they refurbished it and put in, made it nice, and so on and so forth. So when I first went to her house, I could tell that there was definitely ghosts or spirits or something just kind of checking me out and just seeing who I was and, like, what I was doing there. I know that sounds weird, but when I go there now, I don't feel them watching me as much. I think they're just wanting to see what I was doing at the house. So me and my friend, when we were in middle school, we used to watch the Paranormal State and all of these TV shows, and we thought, you know, it would be fun if we do an EVP. Because she knew that her house was haunted, because when she was alone at the house, she would hear footsteps in her parents' bedroom. She thought that was super creepy. So we go to her house, and we do research on the property first to figure out if there was any mysterious deaths or so on and so forth for the house to be haunted. And apparently, one of the founding, when they built the house, the person who built it had a son, and his name was Michael. And Michael mysteriously disappeared. They don't know if he died, that there was never a body found, but he just kind of disappeared off of the face of the planet, and his room was down in the basement. So we decided to do EVPs upstairs in her parents' bedroom, and then we go downstairs into the basement. Now, this is interesting because it was like, I don't know, 4 or 5 in the afternoon. It wasn't at night because we were both pretty scared to do it at night. Anyway, so we go down in the basement. We start to get down there. There's a big staircase, and the staircase is big in the sense that it's pretty wide. And they had that like it because they used to store things down there in the cold winters when the house was first built. So pretty wide staircase. They had the original wood, so it's a little bit creaky when you go downstairs. So you get into the basement. It's not completely refurbished. And you walk towards the back of the basement, and that's where this kid, Michael, he wasn't a kid. He was a young adult when he went missing, used to live. So that was his room. And it's a really small room, and it's right underneath the staircase. And there's this big mirror that her parents, for some reason, decided to put right there. So you jump whenever you see yourself and you turn the corner. There's not a door. And I think you could fit a twin-size mattress in there. You can fit a desk. You can fit anything else. And the ceiling is kind of slanted because of the stairs. Anyway, maybe it's a little bit too descriptive on how his room was like. So when you go into that tiny space, you kind of feel like there's someone there. So we set up the camera. We put up our little phones and have them on voice record. And we start asking questions. Nothing really happens. We don't notice anything. And so we're like, okay. So I leave her house the next day, and she's like, okay, I'm going to review the footage tonight. I'll call you if anything happens. So she's at her house alone, or not alone, her parents are upstairs, but it's around 12 o'clock at night, and she's reviewing the footage. She has this big bowl of popcorn that she's eating and watching the footage. And then we're asking questions, and we both, I noticed this when I was rewatching it, but we both ask, why did you mysteriously disappear at the same time? And then she hears because she's watching the footage first. She hears silence, like it's clear as day. I can hear it, and it sounds like a man speaking, saying silence. And she flips out, popcorn goes everywhere, and she calls me 12 o'clock at night. I was luckily not asleep, and she's like, Katie, there is something. Oh my God, we got something. So a couple of days later, I go back to her house and I review the footage, and I'm like, what the heck happened? Because usually with the spirit stuff, I'm like, well, I feel this way, but there's no way to prove it. So I don't know. So super crazy. We posted the video on YouTube, and it's called Our Belated Ghost Hunt. Might want to check it out. It's super cool in the sense that we actually caught something. And an interesting thing about the video is I've showed it to almost every family member in my house, and they all think I'm crazy. But it's weird because my dad and somebody else, I don't remember, but they can't hear the voice, even though, like, I can hear it, my friend can hear it, my sister can hear it, but some people don't actually hear the EVP. and it's really weird. So I'm wondering, you guys should watch it and see what happens. And I also was wondering, wanting your guys' opinion about silence. Was that towards why he disappeared? Was it because he needed to be silenced? Or was he like, these teenage girls need to stop bothering me and get out of my house or get out of my room or whatever? Anyway, I would really like your thoughts, and I appreciate you airing this, if you do. And I've been listening for a while. It's pretty great. Well, I hope you guys have a nice day. Bye.
What they failed to mention in there is that in the background they were also playing that that record with what was it? She Blinded Me with Science or something. Oh, that's Science. He yelled Science.
That's Science, not Silence.
Damn. I could see that being misconstrued though. Silence.
I think silence was more what was said probably back in the day versus shut up or, you know.
Oh, yeah, just as far as like vernacular term.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm almost wondering if silence wasn't trying to get them to be silent.
I think if I was a ghost and there was two teenage girls trying to find me and I knew like they really would not be taken seriously, even if I did show up and I just wanted to be left alone, I'd be yelling that too.
Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
Yeah. They were just trying to get you to go away. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they didn't take you serious yet. But come back in a couple years and maybe you'll be like, all right, they're serious now. They got the equipment and everything and they can actually be taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It'd be interesting to see if they go back in a couple of years and ask the same question and if they get the same answer or not.
Uh-huh.
It might be the ghost just doesn't want to talk about it. But I think silence is more the vernacular that was probably used turn of the century versus
sure
something else.
And on the sound thing, if I were them, I would take that video and pull it up into like a wave editor of some sort where you can actually see the sound waves. And see where it spikes, where the EVP is, just to confirm that you are, in fact, also seeing a spike in the audio there,
mm-hmm.
where the EVP is. Because that is rather bizarre if some people are hearing it and some are not. Some people have just a really difficult time making out EVPs from other things, especially if there's other noise going on. But if it was fairly silent to begin with, anyone should be able to hear it.
Yeah.
Even if you can't really make out what's being said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's interesting. What do you think of that when it comes to like a recorded, like how I totally understand how some people are more sensitive to seeing or hearing things, you know, in real time, mm-hmm. not watching it on a video recording or audio recording. But is that also the same of if you were video or audio recording something and you experienced something or heard something and I did not in real time, would you then also still be hearing and experiencing it on the recording if it were played back?
I think so. I think sensitivity plays into it. I think it makes it easier for everybody to hear
mm-hmm.
with doing an EVP. But the reason I go with this is because we've had some EVPs on here where we've had very, very sensitive listeners email us say, oh my gosh, that was an EVP and it made me violently ill.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas others are like, well, I can listen to this all day and nothing happens. It's just a weird noise.
It's just how they, yeah.
So I think sensitivity does play into that somewhat, but I think when you capture it electronically, it makes it easier for just anybody, even somebody that's not real sensitive,
to pick it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very interesting story. Something interesting to think about there. Thanks for calling in and sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hi, guys. This is Zora from California. I've recently discovered your show on YouTube, and I really, really enjoy it, so thank you. I'm calling in to talk about this phenomena that has been happening to me on and off for about 15 years, and this started when I was around college age. And it doesn't really qualify as a haunting experience, but I'm really interested to hear your take on it. So what happens is I will be walking down the street somewhere, and I'll think that I see somebody I know. And this is always somebody that I know really, really well or have a really strong connection with, like a good friend or even an ex-boyfriend. And I'm really sure that it's that person. I'm so positive. And when they're around 10 feet away, you know, I'll wave and I'll call their name and say hello. And when they're about 3 feet away from me, I'll realize that I am face-to-face with a total stranger, and this is not that person that I thought it was. And, in fact, it actually looks nothing like them. Different hair color, different eye color, different features, and sometimes even a different race. And it's just a total stranger, and they look at me like I'm just crazy and out of my mind. But anyway, I keep going. I keep walking down the street, and within about 5 minutes, I'll turn a corner and run into the person that I actually thought that I saw the first time. Anyway, this has happened to me so many times, and now I can actually tell that it's happening while it's happening. And there's some kind of quality about the face. So the face kind of shifts and morphs a little bit and looks like it's changing form, which is really strange. And, you know, I've wondered before if this is maybe a form of clairvoyance, but I haven't found anything similar about any kind of similar clairvoyant experiences online. And so I thought, well, maybe it could be some kind of spirit or entity that, you know, makes them look a different way than they are to me. But I don't think it quite fits with the doppelganger, so I wouldn't say it's a doppelganger. But anyway, I think you guys have really good insight, and I'm curious to get your take on it. So thank you. I really love the show, and I plan to become an EPP, so keep up the great work. Thanks.
I wonder, has she ever contacted the people that she thinks she's seeing, like immediately after?
That's what she said. She turns the corner and sees
them. Okay, okay.
So what it is it, the part where you're seeing a complete stranger and they take on the characteristics of somebody you're about to run into, that part is fairly unique. The immediately following running into somebody, that's more of a synchronicity type situation. That's where we've all had it, where you think about somebody you haven't thought about in a while, and then all of a sudden the next day or whatever, you run into them in the grocery store, you know, and you're like, that's so weird. Mm-hmm. Or I was just about to call you. I was just thinking about you.
Mm-hmm.
That's synchronicity. And what I think it is more she's realizing that she's about to come in contact with somebody that she's very close with, or very, you know, very, I don't know, I guess close is the best word I can come up with, somebody that she's got a strong tie to.
Mm-hmm.
And she might just be realizing that she's about to run into them. And that's just the way that she receives that message. I'm sure it's annoying as heck thinking you're seeing that person, and then you realize, oh my gosh, you're not even the same person I thought you were. You know, you were 10 feet away, now you're 3 feet, and you're not the same person.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she's just getting these subtle messages, and I think it has maybe to do with sensitivity and possibly a little bit of clairvoyance there.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because my thought was, I missed the part where she said that she turned around the corner and they were there. I was thinking, like, is there something going on with that person in their life that there's a reason you're getting this message to contact them?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and if there's ever a case where that happens and she doesn't walk around the corner and they're there, I wonder if that has something to do with it. She's like, essentially, it's kind of in the same vein of there's something connected between the two people. And it may just be as simple as, hi, we're near each other, and she can sense it before anybody else can. Or it could be something, you know, there's a reason why there's a message there to get in contact with that person.
Yeah.
That would be my other thought.
I think it's just a message, and it sure is a strange form to get it, but I think that's just how she gets it, and I don't see that going away. I think that's going to be around for a while.
Yeah. Very interesting. Interesting story. Thank you for calling in and sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Josh.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. Oh, this is Josh from Georgia. I wanted to give you guys a quick account of something that the only thing that's ever happened to me, maybe in the hopes that we'll get some more stories about the place, because the place is interesting as hell. I think you guys would be interested as well. The place in question is the Masquerade Atlanta. It is a nightclub in Atlanta, Georgia. They host generally alternative type stuff, like metal bands, underground rap. They get some bigger shows to come through here and there. But it's an awesome place. I've played plenty of shows there, been to, you know, dozens of shows there. I never had any experiences other than this one. The Masquerade has a backstory. It's an old mill. I'm not sure exactly. It's probably a textile mill back from the beginning of the last century, maybe even prior to that. It's a super old building, and there's plenty of stuff online about it. So apparently there were some deaths there. There were some things that happened to the workers there that could have potentially caused some residual hauntings, and maybe even some entities that were mindful of their doings to be there at the Masquerade, or so people said. The story I read that really intrigued me about this place was that employees would come back in the morning after they had a big concert, and there would be 300-pound PA speakers flipped over in on their top, you know, completely upside down, which for me, you know, that's a heavy-ass speaker, and it would whoop my ass to move that speaker. And that thought, coupled with the thought that you guys, you know, on you guys' show, it seems to be that it takes a lot of energy for an entity to manifest itself in such a way to move something, to throw something. And for in my mind, for an entity to move a 300-pound speaker, thing. So I guess it kind of got me thinking more on my experience, and I wanted to call you guys. So here's what happened to me. My band's playing a show, a battle of the bands, at one of their three stages. We're playing in hell. Purgatory and hell are both downstairs, whereas heaven's upstairs. The way hell works, if you walk in the front doors of hell, you're kind of on a platform. You look straight off kind of onto the floor and the stage. If you walk down, you walk behind the stage down the hallway, back to where the bathrooms are and the loading dock is. If you go right, it takes you down to where the stage is and the bar is and all that. So we're there for a couple hours. I decided to go to the bathrooms. And the bathrooms lay out. You walk in, take a left into the bathroom. On the right, there's like three sinks and then a row of urinals. On the left, there is a row of stalls. I go to the last urinal so I can be, you know, at least slightly private. I'm the only one there anyway, so it shouldn't matter. So as I'm using the restroom, about, I don't know, we'll say halfway through, and this is for the story's sake, not to gross you guys out or anything, I hear a door open. And I immediately brush it off as, okay, somebody's coming in. Well, then directly after, I get this chill. I mean, literal goosebumps all over my body. And then I realize, oh, shit, there's no door on this bathroom. So I immediately turn and use the bathroom all over the front of my pants. And there's a stall about halfway open. So I walk over and kind of look in. There's nobody in this bathroom at this point. And these are those heavy stall doors. I mean, it takes some force to move it. Not that it's hard to move, but it's not just going to blow open by the wind or something. And I booked it out of the bathroom. And we did come back half an hour later, so to kind of investigate, as there advances, and there's nothing. There's no way for the door to open. So the only experience I've ever had in my life that I could call an experience, or that I realized was an experience, was a door opening in an old-ass mill. It may seem trivial. It scared the shit out of me, and honestly, I just hope some people call in about some more stories about this place, because it is creepy, and it is old, and has a ton of backstory. Just you guys' kind of place. Well, that's it for my story. Appreciate what you guys do. Become an avid listener after a couple weeks. I generally just binge listen to Stephen King audiobooks while I work. After 7 or 8 of them, I got kind of sick of it, needed a break, and found you guys. And you guys have kind of been filling that voice for me extremely well. So I don't take it as a compliment. You guys interest me just as much as Stephen King does, if that does anything for you. Well, I'll let you guys go. You have a good one. Thanks for your show, and hopefully I'll hear my show soon. Bye.
Well, there you go.
I would love to hear some more stories about that place, the Masquerade in Atlanta.
Yeah, that sounds rather bizarre.
Mm-hmm. Especially, I want to hear about the history of it, since it seems like it, I think he said it was an old mill.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be really, really interesting. I think we should go there next time we go that way.
Definitely. I mean, and when you have an old mill or something like that, those are places where you did have a lot of tragedy on the job.
Mm-hmm.
And just quick people who weren't even realizing they were dying.
Yeah.
Or got killed. Bam, like that. My thoughts on the speaker thing. Because, yeah, that does take a lot of energy. I'm wondering if the entities were able to use all of the energy that was there when there were those shows were going on the night before. And if that helped it to be able to do some of the things that otherwise it couldn't do.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're coming off of a, you know, five nights and there's nothing going on, you're likely not going to have the speakers being able to have been turned over. But because all that energy was just there.
It charged the battery.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where it was able to do that.
I think so.
That's my thought.
And I think that's probably why you're more likely to have hauntings in the restroom or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
During the event or when people are there,
yeah,
than just on its own.
Yeah, I completely agree. Interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to hear more there. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jen. How are you guys? First of all, I just want to thank you guys for having this show. And I'm a big fan on these scary movies, supernatural stuff. I've been looking for a long time for a radio show or something just to hear people's scary stories, and I ran across on YouTube your YouTube videos like a week ago, and I've been hearing them since every day at work, and listen to the great stories there, and I just wanted to share one of mine. To start it off, my name is Humberto, and I'm from Corona, California. And one night, about like a year ago, so 2 years, we were. It was my family, my dad, my mom, and my little sister. We were coming back from a family party. That was past 12 a.m. We were coming back, and we were almost getting home. We were driving through the neighborhood, and then there's this street where it turns to your left, and then if you're turning left, right on the right hand side, that corner house on the right hand side, we were coming close to that house, and then my mom mentions that there's a lady in the driveway. Now my mom's she's a big fan of this too. She's very Catholic and very religious. she believes in all these ghost stories, and I don't know, but so we're there. My mom's driving, my dad's on the passenger seat, and I'm in the back seat, but in the middle, in between the driver and my dad. My little sister, she's asleep. So then my mom mentions, look, there's a person in the driveway. Now, we couldn't tell if it was a woman or a man because it had a coat. It had a huge black coat and the hoodie on. And because it had the hoodie, we couldn't see the face at all. It was pitch black. And it had two Rottweilers, adult Rottweilers, right in front of it. And but the strangest thing is that the dogs, the Rottweilers, weren't moving. One was looking at us, and the other one was facing down, but they weren't moving at all. When we saw that person or whatever it was, we slowed down because we thought it was very odd. We slowed down and we were all looking at it, and we passed by it. We were making that left turn while the turn turns left, but we passed by it slowly. And while we were passing it, the only thing that was moving was its head. It was looking at us while we were passing by.
Now, again, the dogs weren't moving at all. They were as if time were still. The dogs were just not moving. And me being in the back seat, I was looking back, and it just kept looking at us. I mean, the hoodie kept moving while our car was passing by. And we just thought that was the strangest, scariest thing. So then about, I don't know, a month passes by, and once again, we're coming from a family party down in that's Anaheim, California. Again, it was around 12 or 1 a.m. And again, same street. We were coming towards that street. And again, my mom, she mentions, look, there it is again. And we were in the same positions. My mom was a driver. My dad had drank a little bit, so he was in the passenger seat, and I was in the back seat again. And my mom tells us, hey, look, like that lady's there, or whatever it was. She kept calling it lady, but that person's there. And my dad, he answered, he didn't see it. So he was asking my mom where it was, like where, and she kept telling him that it's right there in the same spot that she said. She kept saying it's in the driveway. And my dad kept denying it. He's like, no, there's nothing there. Now, my mom got a little bit upset because, well, no, sorry, not yet. But she asked me because my dad had a drink a little bit. She just told my dad, you know what, I think you're drunk, you're not seeing it. So then she asked me if I seen anything, and I didn't see anything. I was just, no one was there. She's the only one that could see it. And then my dad kept asking her, where is it? And she kept saying, it's right there. But she's like, but there's only one dog this time. There's not two, there's one. That was like, it's looking right at us. Like, same thing. She said it had a hoodie. So my dad told her to stop the car, and my dad got off. My dad got off and walked towards the driveway to the house. And, so one thing I forgot to mention, that house had, at this time, it had been for, it was on sale. The first time we went, there was people living in it. But this time, the second time we passed by, it was for sale. It had been for sale, like, half of that, I don't know, a few weeks. So my dad, he steps out of the car, walks towards the driveway, and he's, like, picking up his hands, like, asking my mom where it is, and she kept saying, it's right next to you, like, and then she starts getting upset because she thought we were playing with her. She gets scared very easy. Even though she loves all this stuff, she gets scared very easily. So, and then I hear she starts kind of shaking, getting scared. And then she kind of makes a little prayer. And we walk. My dad, I'm sorry. I got a little bit distracted. So then my mom just tells my dad to come back in the car because she wanted to leave. He comes back. Me and my dad didn't see anything. And my dad said, I'm not sure if it's right or not, but my dad said because my mom likes this stuff, or she's vulnerable. Like, maybe, I don't know, maybe whatever it was, wanted to communicate with her. But I don't know if anybody has any other ideas, or you, Tony, if you have any clue why my mom was the only person that saw it, or if that first time we saw it, I don't know. It was just weird. But then he gets in the car, and my mom was just, she was scared. I remember she didn't even sleep that night. And, So, and then when we get home, our house was like a quarter of a mile from that house, or a little bit less. And when we pull up to our driveway that same night, our house has those steps that walk towards the front door. On the first step, somebody had drawn with those colorful, like those chalks that what little kids draw on the street or on the cement. Somebody had drawn that symbol with the A and a circle around it, where from the devil, or I don't know. That really freaked me out. That was like, I was like, okay, what's going on here? But I don't know. And then we haven't seen it since. I hope you guys like the story, and I hope you guys choose it. Once again, I know, guys, that this was a short story. There's some guys that make it longer, but I do have other stories that I would like to share that I've encountered. And thank you guys again for having this, and I will support you guys on the EPP. And I hope you guys choose my story. Thank you, guys. Have a great day or good night. Bye-bye.
Thank you for sharing your story, and thank you for your support as an EPP.
I think if there's ever a question that everybody in the car can't see an entity or something right there, that you shouldn't get out and approach it.
That's true.
If three of the people are seeing something and one's not, just go on by.
Yeah, there really can't be any good to going and exploring exactly what that is.
Well, an entity with a Rottweiler is not a good idea.
What? Do you think the symbol on the porch at the end connected at all to the rest of the story? Do you think there's someone behind that? Somebody, for lack of a better term, trying to put like a spell or some sort of, you know, curse or something on them?
I was wondering if maybe it was just, I know where you live.
Like the entity making the mark, or a human behind it conjuring something towards them?
I don't know.
Because with the marking at the end, it almost to me feels like it's someone that was messing with something and trying to conjure something towards them. So you have a mixture of some sort of bad person with bad entities.
Could be. I could see that.
That's kind of, I mean, I didn't feel that way till like that last little tidbit in the story. But, I mean, at first I thought, well, she's really sensitive, and she experiences these things more than others, and sometimes it manifests itself stronger than at other times, which I think is probably the case,
yeah,
you know, to begin with, but it probably just amplifies itself that much more if someone is willing something at them or her.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even have to be willed at her. If it's, you know, wielded something around her or someone around her, I think she'd also be the one that would be picking up on it too.
I agree.
So, very interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
It was a creepy one.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling in and sharing. We, of course, would love to hear more from you. So, if you have more stories, please do give us a call. Our number, 855-853-4802. And as you guys know, if you like our show, consider becoming an EPP, extra podcast person. That is what keeps our show on the air. Last week's EPP episode, it had one of the best stories we've ever had. And it's Jenny's favorite of all time.
It is.
And that's a lot of stories. That's probably literally out of thousands of stories.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how good that episode was, and that story. So please become an EPP. You'll get that episode and all the other ones too, and just get really freaked out. It's only $5 a month. So please consider doing that and helping to keep our show on the air. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
When Kohler, global design leader in luxurious kitchen and bath products, asked me to be their ambassador for timeless, elegant, durable cast iron, I said, I'm in. Soon after, I was in their Kohler, Wisconsin foundry, watching molten iron poured, enamel applied by hand, and the beautiful finished pieces ready to ship. Since 1883, Kohler cast iron has been crafted by incredible artisans, and seeing it firsthand gave me a whole new appreciation for their craftsmanship. Now, I'm proud to lend my stamp of approval to my favorite Kohler cast iron products for their durability, beauty, and enduring style. Shop my curated picks at Kohler.com. As the Kohler cast iron ambassador, I say, long live cast iron.